We both lie silently still in the dead of the night. Although we both lie close together, we feel miles apart inside. Was it something I said or something I did? Did my words not come out right? Though I tried not to hurt you, though I tried.
Mindset is play the best we can and the granddaddy of them all, really. This is an amazing opportunity for the program, for the university to, you know, be the first team to go to the Rose Bowl. And, you know, as much as we want to enjoy all the festivities that come with it, we know ultimately we're here to play a game and to win a game. And so we're going to do everything we can just to make sure we put ourselves in the best position to win.
Did you say buck nuts?
It will never, ever get old. It's just not possible.
Oh, is it a it's a requirement that we belly laugh every time Lloyd drops Kyle Whittingham saying, did you say buck
did
nuts?
Did you just say buck nuts?
Did you say buck nuts? Was that the last one?
Yeah, we're a very...
That's awesome.
We're a very reputable news source. No, you're not.
Hey, listen to how condescending his, well, that's awesome, is.
Yeah,
like,
oh, yeah.
That is the most backhanded, well, that's awesome. Like, that is... far from awesome.
Yeah.
Listen to it.
That's awesome.
Good for you, you moron.
Oh, man. Hans and Scotty joining us now. You know him. You love him. He's got better hair than you. It's Christian Cox joining us, former Ute legend. Christian, how are you?
Hi, Christian.
Up? What's up, Scotty? What's up, Hans? Man, you guys lead into with that. Oh, it's hard not to laugh at some buck nuts. It reminds me of what I think was my first week at Utah. For some reason, I wore an Argentina soccer jersey, and he looked at me. He's like, is that a soccer jersey? Well, that's cool.
Did you say buck nuts?
Oh,
that's awesome.
And I was like,
is that a soccer jersey? Awesome.
I'll never wear that ever again.
Well, good hey, for you.
Christian, is there anybody in the world that hates stupid people and stupid things more than Kyle Whittingham?
No. He's the ultimate grandfather. He's just alpha to the maximum, and he'll call you on it. That's what's so funny. And he's what's funny about him is that people don't realize that the things that he obviously loves his grandchildren, he loves his kids, but like he gets up for these pregame dinners, and he loves clam chowder and steak, and he'll go all out, and he always has these one-liners that he'll give you individually, and so. Really happy for him. Obviously, it's a massive game this weekend, and it's going to cement his legacy if he gets it done.
You know, I always would have thought that, and you know, when Utah got in the Pac-12, the Rose Bowl was always an option, and you know, all you got to do is win your conference, but something Arizona had never done, and teams had been 20, 30 years. I mean, I try to remember last time Cal's been in this game. I mean, it's really hard to do. And so when Utah got in, you think, okay, it's going to be nice, but boy, it's going to be a long time. Well, they're there, and I would have thought that your game and that Utah game and that Sugar Bowl was going to be the prime game in Utah history for a long, long time. But if Utah wins this game tomorrow, I think you're going to have to be sitting at number two on that list.
Hey, we'll gladly take the number two seat on that. But, you know, as you look back, Sugar Bowl – what's crazy, guys, is Sugar Bowl was 12 years ago, or whatever it is. It was 2009, January 2nd, and obviously we beat Mark Ingram, Julio Jones, and Nick Saban, and the squad. But I think just the story in the season in itself, obviously with the two deaths of teammates within a calendar year, and as you look at the start of the season going 1-2 and losing to your rival and somehow – putting a tremendous season together and beating Oregon, who was top five twice. Well, I don't know, the final 76-17 or something like that in the span of 3 weeks. And again, you guys know this because you guys have covered Kyle and Utah and the local scene for a long time. This wouldn't be a more fulfilling win for him, I think. Obviously, winning the Rose Bowl and, you know, coming up short a little bit on these Pac-12 game championship games. And it just goes to show, obviously, the team emulates him and emulates, you know, Andy Ludwig and Morgan Scalley and Tree Shaw and Lewis Powell and Sione Puha and Kyle's brother, Coach Whittingham. And there's a similar thread in all of them, and it's just an unstoppable relentlessness to get back up when you lose. I don't think that's talked about enough in life, right? Life is full of loss, and you don't win every game. And to stick with it and not quit and just come back and go to work every single week is, it's really a testament to how great this Utah team is and how cool it is to see them blossom late. They got better every single game. They didn't flounder late in the season. They got better. And, you know, as we look at this game, it's 50-50, right? If you win, you're cementing a legacy. You're 3-0 in New Year's six games. In my opinion, you should be on the stadium ledger. You should be on the name. You lose. It's a great season. It's a terrific season, but just doesn't have the type of punch behind it that you want as a Rose Bowl champion. And I think Utah's positioned itself to go earn a Rose Bowl championship and a bowl. I mean, the Rose Bowl itself, and not a better way to go out for Coach Whittingham and his team on this season.
So I'm sitting here watching Alabama take on Cincinnati, and you were talking about Nick Saban and that Alabama team. Ohio State's got six or seven guys that are opting out because they're just too big for the moment and they got to go get their own money. Was there any talk amongst you guys or any rumors coming out of Alabama's side that so-and-so might opt out, that he's going to go get the money and not play in this Sugar Bowl? Do you remember any of that being an issue, a conversation, or a thought for players?
No, and that's why it's so strange, Hans, right? It's just a different time now, right? 2021 versus 2009, and even, you know, I think, what was your last year at BYU, 2001? You know, as you look at the last, you know, 10 by 10, the last 10 years, the last decades, it's just so odd to me. Like, Julio Jones was a freshman, and he was so dynamic and huge that he wasn't going to miss the game. And Mark Ingram was backing up a running back named Coffey, who went to the league, played with the Niners for a little bit, then quit. So those players in Alabama at that time, they hadn't been amazing, right? They hadn't become the Alabama that we know for the last, you know, 12, 13 years. they barely lost to Tim Tebow in Florida. They were undefeated the whole year and lost the SEC championship and had to come play us in Louisiana. And, you know, they didn't know who we really were. And honestly, preparing for the Sugar Bowl that year, I was backing up Paul Kruger, Cole Meese, and those guys. But we knew for a fact, like, this is what we don't know. This is what you and I and Scotty don't really know. Because when you have a bowl prep month, all you're doing is watching tape and tape and tape and tape. As we watched hours and hours of game film of that Alabama team, we knew they were one-dimensional. We knew if you could shut down the run, they'd have a hard time throwing and completing the ball, and we got out to a quick start. And so I think the similar thing with Ohio State, I think the blueprint is kind of laid out. There's two games that Ohio State has really gotten pinned on with losses, and both of them have a similar theme to them. Michigan put up close to 300 yards rushing on them. They gave up six rushing touchdowns. C.J. Verdell, I think, was playing for Oregon at the time, had 160 yards rushing plus. And Oregon ran for close to 300 yards and ended up squeaking out by a touchdown. So I think that bodes well for Utah. Obviously, that was their shift in putting in Cam Rising. They went to more of a run-based offense and playing a lot of play action, be able to be threatening down the field. So, again, different times, different years. For me and for you, Hans, I don't know your opinion. I can't imagine in my life wanting to give up one extra game of college. I know you could potentially get hurt, but it's your last time playing, and the Rose Bowl is still a Rose Bowl. Like, I don't know how many other people would die to be playing in a game like that. And it's just that I think it's just the shift in the professional NIL making money, and I think college is more than that. But that's just me in my old state now, I guess.
Look at you. Get off my lawn guy right now. That's impressive.
Yes, who would have thought I'd become that quick?
Well, I mean, a lot of former players have that same opinion of I can't believe you're not playing this game. And it's definitely a new mindset. It's a different new strategy for these guys. And I understand it. It makes a lot of sense to me. It's not something that I don't know if I'm not a huge fan of it, but I get where it's coming from. When you're playing in that game against Alabama, I can't imagine what the emotions were like. But can you get too up for a game? I mean, can you be too fired up for a game? And how do you strike that balance to making sure you're in a good place to kick off a game of this magnitude?
Well, for sure. Like, I think that if you go back to the Sugar Bowl season in 08, we opened up on the road against Michigan, and the feeling was just, we knew we were a good team. And obviously I was backing up Paul Kruger. Like I said, I wasn't a mainstay. I wasn't contributing a lot. I played in a bunch of games, but you got to be like a pot on an oven or a stove, and you got to be able to heat up, and you can't be boiling hot before the game. You got to be simmering and boiling, getting ready to get going. And Billy, I'll take you behind the curtain. I remember this like it was yesterday, because Gary Anderson was our D coordinator. There was this weird old guy who started showing up on our sidelines. His name was John Pease. And I was like, who the heck is this guy? Like, what does this guy know? he just started showing up on our sidelines. Like, when we played TCU, we beat TCU, we beat BYU, obviously. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, this guy just keeps showing up. I'm like, he didn't really introduce himself. He just around, you know, bald guy, hunched over a little bit, whispering in Kyle's ear and whispering in Gary's ear. And right before the Sugar Bowl started, he goes out and he gets in front of the band and he starts waving his arms like a crazy guy, like, get the band going, get the band loud. And in the Superdome, Mercedes Dome at the time, like, it was so loud. Like, it was obviously outnumbered Alabama to Utah, but the Utah fans traveled so well, and we could hear them. And the way the game started, right, it was touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. It was passes underneath, passes to David Reed, passes down the middle to Braden Godfrey. And all of a sudden we're up 21-3, and, like, the stadium is just so loud pro-Utah. It just kind of stayed that way. And you looked around, you saw all the people from Alabama and their, I don't know what you call their, that print. It's like a black and white checkered and the maroon. You could just see they were just deflated, and it was just so fun and loud. And even as teammates, we're looking at each other, me and Dave Kruger and everybody looking around, just, what is happening? But candidly, part of that was obviously Brian Johnson and Andy Ludwig calling a heck of a game. Offensively, we weren't the best team that year, and Brian couldn't throw the ball longer than 50 yards because people didn't realize he had a bad shoulder. But with Darrell Mack and Matt Asiata, they executed a great game. But of all people, John Pease, he walked out there and got the band playing, and I guess very fitting for, you know, losing John this year. But it's a fun time that, you know, Utah gets to go play in the Rose Bowl, play in Pasadena, and there's a lot of people watching from above down on this team. So hopefully it works out.
What, to Scotty's point, Christian, where does this season rank for Utah then?
Yeah. Well, for me, if it becomes victorious, and it's hard, I guess it's unfair to me to say that the season is a complete loss and to put it in the dumpster if you're, you know, you go 10-4 or whatever it may be. If you lose, if you win, it's jubilation and 3-0 in New Year's Six. But I don't know where you could rank a better season if they do win the Rose Bowl. I know that sounds cliche, but, like, I know the Sugar Bowl year we had, we were undefeated, and, you know, you end up being ranked second in the AP and the coaches poll after the season. And what we did to Alabama was a surprise to everyone. I think the way this season has panned out with the expectations and then the way this team has battled back through adversity and took it by the horns itself and game by game has improved. And obviously plugging in Cam Rising changed the whole dynamic of this team. And, you know, you lose two beloved, sweet kids that are your own teammates. This team has rallied behind. And for me, if they win, and I'm not being a prisoner of the moment, I think it goes down as one of the greatest seasons in the history of Utah football. And I know it'd be 11-3, but still, it's just the way it's happened in the last, you know, 10 games. And it's pretty incredible once they put Cam Rising back in the second half of San Diego State. And you've seen that consistency since that point all the way through.
What is it about Cam Rising that you think has been such a spark for this offense?
This isn't me trying to beat up Cam Rising. He's not the most handsome looking fellow in the world. Doesn't mean you have to be handsome to throw a ball well, but
Did you just call Cam Rising ugly?
I did not. I did not say it. I'm saying he
look. We're not all Christian Cox. I mean, I know you set the bar really high there.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, you look at his mechanics and you look at the way he throws, but there is something that we can't see. Right? You can't see what he does in these drills and in off season conditioning and in camp and in spring ball, and he's so consistent. And obviously, if you're voted team captain, you're not a starter. Like, your teammates respect you, and Hans knows this best, but you know who the real guys are. You know who are pretenders and who are real people. When you're looking around and it's hard in camp, or it's hard in winter conditioning, and Coach LSI and Greg Argus are just beating you into the ground, and you're seeing resiliency, and it's the energy, right? Football and sports, you know this, Scotty, as you call basketball and football, like, there's something about it. We want to look at statistics always as the marker, but sometimes there's things that aren't shown up in statistics that change the dynamic of a team. And that was Cam Rising. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't throw interceptions. He threatens the outside with his legs just enough. He knows how to throw a perfect ball on play action. And some of these fades he's thrown to Britton Covey, and Britton Covey's one of the shortest people on the field. They've looked good. And it just goes to show, if you can have a good defense, but if you can run the ball effectively and not turn the ball over and stretch the field, that's Brian Johnson. That's Alex Smith. That's Cam Rising. And that's what this offense is, has been this year. It's been very successful because they can run a little bit with quarterback.
So for those of you that don't know, Christian Cox has done quite a bit of modeling. He is really handsome and extremely well-built.
Oh, my gosh.
And Scotty and I were actually doing a broadcast with Christian here in Las Vegas.
I remember this well.
In a span of 2 hours, two different women dropped their phone numbers off and slid it across our broadcast table to Christian. So, Christian, my question is, what did you used to do with all those numbers that used to get pushed your way?
I thought we ripped them up. This is what you get in radio. People embellish the truth. Hey, they were pushing those to you.
No. And here's the funny thing, too.
They were equal. And let's be honest. I think this was the BYU Utah Vegas Bowl, right?
Yep.
I think they were heavily inebriated. They probably couldn't even see straight, but those are equally to you as to me, Hans.
All right, so the other truth is this, is that they did not, they all went to Christian, and Christian was just so nonchalant about it. It was like Tuesday for Christian. Like, it's just like he grabbed it, looked at it, and just kind of tossed it away. Like, this was not your first rodeo getting random phone numbers from girls on pieces of paper. Like, your level of just like, all right, well, whatever, you know. It's like,
maybe that was my first, candidly. I'm happily married. Have you seen my wife? She's very attractive. So that was probably what.
Obviously, you didn't do anything about it. Like you just discarded them like they were nothing. But it's just like, I mean, the whole like nonchalant, like that happens to me. I'm like, holy crap! Like I call my wife. I'm like, you're not gonna believe what just happened.
Oh, it's a journal entry.
Yeah, exactly. That's like a monumental moment in any man's life when he gets a phone number, and you're like, whatever.
I'm gonna Facebook it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish that was the case now. I really don't get hit on by women much anymore. I must be getting old.
What is your favorite facial attribute of yours?
I'm not answering this. I have large ears and my hair has been okay, but my wife she cuts it and colors it, makes it all pretty. So I can't give away all my secrets.
It's like the exact opposite of Cam Rising.
I'd say my mouth is okay. I'll put my mother-in-law on blast here. She's like, did you get Botox in your mouth or filler? I was like, not in a million years.
How much product goes into that hair every day?
Oh, not a ton. Just some pomade and a little blow dry, you know.
Okay.
And some nice stuff.
Awesome. Hey, by the way, is Henry getting ready to start in a little flag football, or is he putting on the pads?
Yeah, he'll do his first season of flag football coming up next in the spring. So,
you coaching?
I don't know.
You need to do it.
Hey, look, I don't know if I should do that.
That kid.
Did Hans do it? Did you coach Hans?
No, the hell no. No. Not even close.
Yeah, but Hans doesn't have a lot of patience. I think you're a little bit more patient. And
there's part of me, I don't know. I flag football. Maybe I'll let someone else coach it. But when it gets to Little League, I'll probably coach.
There you go. When it
counts. People need to know that Christian's wife's family is extremely athletic. And I've got to imagine that Henry is going to be an absolute specimen of an athlete.
What's the frame looking like? Like, what are you anticipating there?
Henry is ripped like Camille. He's long and lean, and obviously I've got a bunch of brother-in-laws. I think you called some. My brother Connor played basketball.
Yeah, Utah State.
And my brother Travis played down at BYU as receiver walk-on there. And Henry's looking good. He's lean. He's ripped. I have another son. His name's Johnny. He'll be 2. He's got a foot of an ox. His feet are legitimately like bricks. I'll send you a picture. He's got hands that are very large. So they're both very athletic. Then my girls, too, just like you, Hans. My Millie, she's a gymnast, and then Belle's a little gymnast, too. So whatever they want to do. If Henry wants to play football, I can play football. If he wants to do gymnastics, I'll support him in that, whatever he wants to be.
No, you won't.
Yeah, yeah, I will.
Get those will. Pads on him.
Yeah, give those come pads on. Come on.
Oh, come on. You know I got the old CTE debate. So
I mean, you know, when you go watch gymnastics, you sit around for 4 hours, and then it's a 5-second event, and you're like, oh. Oh. That was a nice pummel horse, son.
We did drive to St. George for a meet. And yes, at least it was only 2 hours. So, but yes, they're long. But I will say, for young kids, probably the best to get them started so they can learn how to control their body and do different moves and prepare them for other things. But I have them all stuff: gymnastics, soccer. I didn't push Henry to football at all. Like, legitimately, he's like obsessed. Like, he wants to know the score of the Green Bay Packers. He knows I played for the Patriots. Funny. He found out today his birthday is the same day as Tom Brady and Zach Wilson, and he's just like, he's floored. So
it's crazy because they all share the same birthday. Rock does the same thing, but it's about the Red Rocks. He's like, what were the scores on the uneven bars? Like, what? So what did Basket end up with on the pummel horse?
I can only imagine you up there at a meet with Rock.
Well, I'm going to get him on the uneven bars. At some point, that boy's going to be spinning around a bar.
What is Rock right now? Is he 6'4"?
He's wrestling.
Is he wrestling?
He's wrestling. Yeah, he's cutting weight to be a heavyweight right now is what he's doing.
He's cutting weight to be a heavyweight.
What's he weighing? Is he basically mini you?
Hans, we haven't talked about this. The last couple of pictures, I think he's got you on height.
He's right there. Yeah,
he's
right there.
6'4"?
He's looking eye to eye. That's
and the dude's
impressive.
A freshman.
Yeah, 14.
No way.
He started into his freshman year of high school wrestling 282, had to cut down to 275. So I don't know I think he might have a glandular issue. Might be dealing with gigantism. I can't tell you.
He's 15 and he's 280.
He's 14.
He's 14?
Yeah, he's 14.
Gigantism.
Oh my goodness, Hans.
Oh man, I hope he's not listening right now.
Oh no, Christian, I locked up with him about a week ago. I'm like, because I used to tell Scotty, like, I'm like, as long as he lives in my house, there's no chance he's gonna lock up with me and have any level of dominance, and that is gonna probably be lost within the next 6 to 8 months.
I can't believe that. It's like yesterday that the whole crew, we were doing pre and post game, and they were all, you know, 5 and 6 years old.
Your kid's age.
Yeah. We're just living in parallel universes.
Father time's undefeated, man. No bueno. Well, Christian, always good catching up with you, man. Hope you're well. Hope the holidays are treating you and the family well. And let's talk again next week after the game.
Can't wait. See you guys.
You got it. Christian Cox right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Yeah, you posted some pictures at the lights. Oh, he was the one that posted the picture of the lights. And I was looking, I'm like, oh my goodness, I think he's got hands on the height.
He's 6'3 and a half right now. 14. So, and he's in a size 15 shoe. I don't know. I didn't stop growing until I was almost 18, so I'm not sure what we got on our hands.
Let's see. So, like gigantism and camera rising's ugly. So, that was interesting.
I can't believe Christian said that.
Yeah, that got a little weird.
Yeah, but it always does when we have Christian on air.
All right, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Alabama leading Cincinnati 10-3. Cincinnati defense is starting to play a little bit better, and the Bearcats have the ball back at their own 36-yard line. So, yeah, and Cincinnati's hanging in there. They're withstanding some haymakers here by Alabama. They just got to find a way to get into that end zone and make this game really interesting. All right, coming up next, we spin the wheel. A little sports roulette straight ahead.
Slow Mo Joe.
The Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
You have a high-profile job, obviously, Joe, but you come off as a regular guy. So I'm wondering, when you see a kid on social media goes nuts because he gets a Joe Ingles jersey for Christmas, how does that make you feel?
It's crazy. I obviously thoroughly enjoy the life I get to live, obviously, but also want to stay as low-key as possible. I never imagined as a 17-year-old when I first signed my first deal that I would have kids begging for my jersey or jumping around or getting emotional. At the end of the day, I'm going to be an old man that maybe I win a championship, maybe I don't. Maybe I make more money. Maybe I don't. All those things are hit or miss, but I can always promise myself and Renee and the families out there that I can make an impact in that way. And that's what we've tried to do with the autism world. And they're the things that will last a lifetime.
Oh, yeah. Catch Jazzman Joe Ingles with DJ and PK every Thursday morning on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Olson, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Time for another edition of Sports Roulette. Take some of the big storylines, some of the breaking news we've not had a chance to get to, put it on a nice little wheel, spin it, wherever that little ball lands, it's what we end up talking about. So, Lloyd, oh, are you okay?
I hate Alabama. I hate Alabama. You know, it's what team can say, oh, so who's your offensive coordinators and quarterbacks coach? Oh, it's former NFL coach Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
And then their staff is so deep. This is so manufactured. I want Alabama to go away. I don't know. Go start your own league. You and Georgia. Yeah. Just make it the Alabama and Georgia League, and you guys can go off and dance together, and you can go out and find your TV contracts and have your fabricated fan base that isn't from Alabama, didn't graduate from Alabama, just likes to watch somebody win, and just – go away. All of you, go away. Hate them. I'm not a fan of Alabama.
I'm with you. You know, it kind of reminds me a lot of Boise State fans, like the people that I grew up around. They say they're Boise State fans. Like, oh, I've been a Boise State fan my whole life. No, you haven't.
Did you graduate from Boise State?
No.
No.
Did you know Boise State existed before 2005? No.
No.
Did you grow up in Boise? I bought meth from Boise State once.
Ooh, wow.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, jeez.
I was on campus and bought it there, yeah.
Well, it does make you an honorary Bronco.
I so badly want to say they don't do that there, Lloyd, but do you have to graduate from university to be a true fan of that team?
You know what? Honestly, I kind of feel like you should.
Like, to me, you either graduated there or had a kid graduate there or
some level maybe. Or work for them.
Yeah, but even then it's like, well, why are you going to work for a university that you didn't graduate from? That's weird.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, work, you know, in marketing or ticketing or something like that. They're just looking for the best job that pays the most. So you go there and then you I think that gives you, and if you're a kid of somebody who works there, I think that gives you a green light. But yeah, just being a random fan of some random college. Like, yeah.
Wait.
Yeah, 18-year-olds that play in Alabama. We love them.
Have to graduate from there. Not everybody's fortunate enough to go to college, I don't think.
Yeah, but
this version of you're ugly?
No. It's just like, I just don't understand why somebody would get emotionally invested in a school that they didn't go to.
Like Alabama. There's nothing interesting other than they win everything. Yeah. But they win everything because they buy it. They've got an NFL head coach as their quarterback's coach. Yeah. Come on. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of it. I'm over the whole Alabama thing. I want Cincinnati to figure out a way to win this game. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it because Alabama keeps cutting through them with this run game. But, man, I want somebody to unseat them.
Yeah. All right. Lloyd, fire up that wheel.
A cougar hits the portal.
I swear that wheel needs a little WD-40, man. It's getting all kinds of backed up there. It's got some problems. All right. Baylor Romney just announced on Twitter. In fact, I'll read it. Said, these last 4 years have been filled with ups and downs, but I am thankful for the memories I have made and the person I've become while playing football at BYU. My teammates have become my brothers, and I'll miss them the most. I am thankful for lifelong relationships I've been able to make. Thank you to all the coaches, family, and friends for your love and support. That being said, unfortunately, he did not say that being said. He did say, I'm unsure what's next, but it's time for me to move on, and I'm excited for the next challenge. Go Cougs. So he didn't say he's going in the portal. Who knows? Maybe he's just shutting down football altogether and ready to enter into the world of whatever profession he would choose, or maybe he does want to play some more year. He did not say portal specifically, but said, I'm ready to move on and excited for the next challenge. Because I deleted the tweet. I just saw it and put Baylor Romney going in the portal, and obviously that's not necessarily the case because he didn't say as much, so I deleted that tweet. But it is interesting to see how he has essentially said, I'm moving on from BYU.
Good luck to him, and I hope that he finds everything he's looking for. If he is transferring, unless he transfers down, he's just going to transfer to another bench role. But because I do think that Romney is a really solid backup quarterback. But it kind of feels like maybe he's moving on from football. At least that's
the vibe you got from that.
Yeah, because I would never – first of all, I would never release one of these stupid posts that everybody feels like they have to do anymore. I would just do my job and move along and not act like I'm the most important thing in the whole world and somebody needs to hear from me on a big, nice display with a picture of me and school logos and releases.
You're so grumpy.
No, I am not. No, I am not. It's just I'm so sick of this social media thing with kids thinking they need to be so important. Just go away. Either play or go away. But anyways, I wouldn't send out a release like that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That knee is down.
Jeez.
That ball's coming back.
That's an easy call. I wonder why they...
What blind officials... You know those are Alabama officials. Like, that knee is not down. Alabama just had a receiver catch a ball off a scrape, and he was tackled, his knee touched, he got up and started running, and the officials are like, that's a live ball! Live ball! Cincinnati starts running like, his knee was on the ground.
in hopes of it not even being
I think these officials lazy with replay. And they're just like, you know what, let's just call it whatever, and then we'll let the replay figure it out afterwards. How about trying to get the right call the first time?
I know. And I can't wait for one of these officials' wallets to fall out and have like six $100 bills kind of flutter onto the field and then Nick Saban's player's card right next to it. Because sometimes I feel like these officials just want Alabama to win.
By the way, ESPN just sent out a tweet about how it's going to be so busy for Kirk Herbstreit. It's calling the Orange Bowl on the 31st, then calling the Rose Bowl on January 1st, then January 8th, he's got a Monday Night Football doubleheader, and then January 10th, calling the national championship game. You're working 4 days in 2 weeks.
Did you say buck nuts?
Why don't you calm down there, Kirk? For crying out loud. Dude, I did. I mean, look, you're calling two games in 3 days and doing a radio show. I've done a radio show, then fly, call a game, do another radio show, call a game, get on a plane, come back that morning and do another radio show. Like, hey, like,
and
this is what we call working.
And didn't get paid $1.2 million to do it.
I did that Big Sky tournament. I called 20 games in 6 days. In that Big Sky Conference tournament.
Like, now, you might have been paid 1.2 for that.
No.
Because I don't.
Oh, I don't even want to tell you what I was paid for that. And that was one for the experience. By the way, I love my buddies at the Big Sky. I was very grateful for the opportunity. But I didn't do that for the money, that's for sure.
Did you just throw me the dollar sign? Did you just go like this?
Did you
put the fingers together?
No, I did not do that.
Did he wink?
No.
Did he wink?
He threw the dollar sign to me.
Nope. I did not.
He winked? Oh, boy. So you did make some money.
Good for I you, made bud. Some money. Yes, that is true.
Yes. Hey, do we have a?
We got a happy
we have
hour.
A happy hour coming up.
Yeah, we'll do it next. Hans and Scotty, okay. As we wrap up the year right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Did you say buck nuts? Was that the last one? That's awesome.
This is DJ and PK.
It's time to talk Rose Bowl and Utah football with Nick Ford, University of Utah offensive lineman.
We know the Rose Bowl has a lot of activities designed to allow the players and everybody in the program to have fun. How do you balance having fun, but at the same time being prepared to play the ball game?
Oh, you just simply got to know like when to work and when not to. And I mean, that's a big part of this program and why we win bowl games, because we know when to go have fun and we know when to block in. It's just separating the two and making sure that you just do it responsibly.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, we're going to wrap up the year, wrap up our 2021 hands with another edition of Happy Hour. And this is awesome. It's Lloyd doing a happy hour on the show, and I'm not part of it. It was when I was gone and you and Frank Dolce were hanging out, and a comparison was made. This sounds like Cody Barton and Del Taco, for crying out loud. Instead, it's you, Frank Dolce, Devin Lloyd, and Yahtzee.
You heard from Devin Lloyd coming in.
Yes.
Right there. And Devin Lloyd was talking about this being the dream scenario. Can you imagine it working out any better for Devin? I mean, a national championship, maybe, but it's the Rose Bowl.
Have you ever played the game Yahtzee? Do you know the game Yahtzee? Five dice, and you have this sheet that you keep score. You try and get, you know.
Yeah, I've played that.
Okay, and then Yahtzee is the ultimate. When you roll you get to roll the dice three times. And when you roll five of the same number, you get a Yahtzee. And then you get to yell Yahtzee. And it's hard. It's difficult to get a Yahtzee.
Do you have to get the Yahtzee to actually complete the game?
No, if you don't get, like, you can go through and fill out your stuff. If you don't get one of them, then you have to cross it out.
Oh, you don't get the point
category anymore.
Okay.
So I'm playing Yahtzee with my family. This is something that we do with some regularity. It's kind of fun. And here's what happened. I filled out my entire card. My entire card was filled except for the Yahtzee. I hadn't gotten a Yahtzee. I had one more roll. And on my very last roll of the game, I miraculously rolled a Yahtzee. That's how I feel, like,
which is unbelievable.
It's like Devin Lloyd. Like, that's what happened to Devin Lloyd.
Got the Yahtzee.
He got the Yahtzee. He took a chance. Came. He certainly could have jumped ship. Mm-hmm. He came back and he rolled a Yahtzee. Good, like, that's exactly what happened to him.
Apparently, I leave and you guys just get all kinds of loose.
How about Frank's description of Yahtzee? Is Yahtzee really that fun? I think I've played it once and I was like, this
I really enjoy Yahtzee. And we had some neighbors and we would play, we play Yahtzee like once or twice a week with these neighbors that we used to live by. It was, I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Well, it sounds like Frank and his family love it.
I think all he wanted to do was work in the fact that he got Yahtzee on the last roll.
Yeah, he was talking about one of his own accomplishments. Yeah. Worked it right in there pretty smoothly.
Usually when you're talking to Frank, it usually comes back to Frank.
More often than not, which it should.
Yep.
Very successful.
All right. Coming up next, it's Unrivaled. You're going to hear from Mark Harlan. You're going to hear from the president of the university. You're going to hear from, tell you what, who else have they got on the list? Tell you, it's a busy, Jamal Anderson. Yeah, the Dirty Bird's going to be on the show as well. All down in Pasadena. You're not going to want to miss it. It's up next. This is Hans and Scotty right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.